Now let's consider the Greek phrases used to describe the activity of these demons or unclean spirits in relationship to human beings. Now here is where the greatest misunderstanding arises out of the King James Version. There are actually three alternative phrases used in New Testament Greek to describe the fact that a person is in some way troubled or tormented by an evil spirit or a demon. The first phrase, which is very common, is to have an unclean spirit or an evil spirit. We'll look at the various passages given in your outline where this is found. We'll glance at them quickly, not pausing to dwell on any of them. Matthew 11, verse 18, Jesus says, John, that's John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil, he hath a demon. So John the Baptist was accused of having a demon by the people of his day. And then in Mark 7:25, we've already just looked at that, but we can look at it again for a moment. This is about the Syrophoenician woman. Mark 7:25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. And then in Mark 9:17, the man said to Jesus, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. That's a particular type of unclean or evil spirit, a dumb spirit, one that refuses to allow a person to speak. But the boy is said to have a dumb spirit. Then we turn to Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter, and verse 33. It says, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, an unclean demon. There again we see in that verse that an unclean spirit and a demon are used interchangeably or together. This man is said to have had a spirit of an unclean demon. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, a passage we've looked at already, there was a man who had devils or demons a long time. And in Luke 13, verse 11, we read, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together, and could in no wise lift up herself. This woman had a spirit of infirmity, physical weakness, which prevented her from straightening her spine, what we would call, I suppose, spinal curvature. But in the New Testament, it's attributed to a spirit of infirmity which this woman had. Then in John's Gospel, there are quite a number of passages where this phrase, to have a demon or an unclean spirit, is used. John chapter 7, verse 20. The people answered and said unto him, that's Jesus, thou hast a devil, thou hast a demon. They accused him of having a demon. And in John chapter 8, the phrase occurs several times. Verse 48, the Jews said to Jesus, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a demon? Jesus answered, I have not a demon. And in verse 52 of the same chapter, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon. And in John chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, many of them said, he hath a demon and is mad. Notice, being mad is more or less equated with having a demon. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So we see that this phrase, to have a demon, is very commonly used in the New Testament. The second phrase, which is closely parallel, is to be in an unclean or an evil spirit. Now this hardly makes sense in English, and in the King James Version, the preposition in is translated with, but actually the literal Greek is in. Let's look at two passages in Mark's Gospel where this occurs. Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, but the Greek says in an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone, and so on. And in Mark 5:2, it says, when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, but the Greek says in an unclean spirit. I would say that the closest modern English would be to be under the influence of an unclean spirit. In other words, this man was not always under the influence of this spirit, but at times this spirit manifested itself through him, and then that is expressed in New Testament Greek by saying he was in an unclean spirit. In the Old Testament, it's said of the false prophets that they prophesied in Baal. In other words, they prophesied in the spirit of Baal and not in the spirit of God. The third phrase, which is also extremely common and is the important one because it's been so completely mistranslated in the King James Version, is a verb in Greek, daimonizomai, which could very well be rendered in English, to be demonized. It's as close a rendering as you could possibly get, and in the English it has precisely the same connotation as it does in Greek. It means in some way or another to be under the influence or attack of a demon. It doesn't say more than that, just to be demonized. Unfortunately, for the sake of English-speaking Christians around the world and through the ages, the King James Version has translated this phrase to be demonized by the English phrase to be possessed with devils. And this has given rise to more understanding than any other single phrase, I imagine, in the King James Version, because the word possess is completely misleading and has nothing in the Greek to support it. Immediately you use the word possess, you bring to the minds of English-speaking people the suggestion of total ownership. If I possess my Bible, every page in the Bible belongs to me, not some of them. And so whenever you speak about having an evil spirit, a person reacts in an angry way and says, "Do you mean I'm possessed by the devil?" And they've got that from the King James. The King James, the Greek doesn't say that. The Greek says a person is demonized in some way or another, which is not further specified by that one word, under the influence or the control or the attack of a demon. Now, there's no suggestion that the demon possesses the person in the sense of having totally taken him over. Let's look at some of the passages in the New Testament where this verb, to be demonized, is used. Starting in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 24. It says, "His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils," those which were being demonized, "and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, the paralysis, and he healed them." Various different categories of people who were brought to Jesus, those who were sick, those who were tormented, those who were paralyzed, those who were lunatic, and those who were being demonized, attacked, or affected in some way by demons. In Matthew chapter 8, the word occurs three times. Verse 16 says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils," many that were being demonized. Verse 28, "When he was come to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils," but the Greek says two who were being demonized. And verse 33 of the same chapter, "They that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils," to the people who had been demonized. In Matthew 9:32, it says, "As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil, a dumb man who was being demonized, and the evidence that he was being demonized was his dumbness. The only way in which the demon affected him was by making him dumb. The moment the demon went out, the man was no longer dumb." It would be completely incorrect to suggest that this man was possessed in the sense of totally taken over. One area of his personality only was affected, and that was the speech centers. And then in Matthew 12:22, we have a similar case. "There was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, one who was being demonized, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." In this instance, the demon is responsible for the blindness and the dumbness. That's all, the only areas of the man that he controlled were those that affected his sight and his speech. And when that demon went out, the man could see and speak. To use the word possessed there is completely incorrect. And then in Matthew 15:22, we've looked at this twice already. This is the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, And she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The same word is used in Greek, though the King James uses the word vexed instead of possessed there. But the Greek word is demonized. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 32, it says that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, them that were being demonized. And Mark 5, 15, 16, and 18, in the account of the Gadarene demoniac, we have the phrase used three times. I don't believe it's really necessary to read them out because it's just a repetition of what we've seen before. And then in Luke 8:36, which also refers to the Gadarene demoniac, we have the same phrase. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. He that had been demonized was healed. And incidentally, the Greek word used for healing there is the Greek word for salvation. He was saved. This is part of salvation, is deliverance from evil spirits. So here we see these facts then. First of all, that there are probably three different expressions used to describe these persons or entities: demons, unclean spirits, evil spirits. And sometimes they're specified more precisely, for instance, a spirit of infirmity or a dumb spirit. The second phrase that's used is an unclean spirit, and the third phrase that's used is an evil spirit. And the language that's used in connection with these is to have an unclean spirit or to be in an unclean spirit, that is under the influence of an unclean spirit, or to be demonized, to be in some way affected by a demon.